I want to take a few minutes and talk to you about it. One of my favorite movies, because I think sometimes we end up the same way. I mean, how do you get to a place where you feel like your life doesn't matter anymore? That was George Bailey at the beginning of the movie. He just felt like he wasn't making a difference. Have you ever felt that way, that maybe what you do doesn't make a difference? You're not getting through? Whether it's in your job, your life, your children, your marriage. And you just feel like, God, I don't think I make a difference. And so George Bailey said, I wish I'd never been born. And so then it happens. An angel comes and grants him his wish. An angel named Gabriel shows up in the movie, and he says, it's as if you had never been born. And Bedford Falls becomes Potterville. And the guys that he gives loans to through the Bailey Savings and Loans, they no longer have that. So one's an alcoholic, and one's tossed out of a bar. I mean, just all kinds of things. And his brother, who was supposed to be a war hero, isn't a war hero. He doesn't save his battalion. He doesn't save the guys because he died. He drowned because George had never been born to save them when they were kids. And what a difference. You know, sometimes we just don't realize the difference we make in people's lives. I don't know about you, but there's been times I've even asked that. We get around circumstances like, God, is it really making a difference? God, I mean, maybe I should go do something else. I mean, you fill in the blank. I mean, being a pastor at Grace, is it really making a difference? Are people's lives really changing? And we all sometimes maybe go through those moments and it's like, what is mattering? What difference does it make if I do this or don't do this? People are going to just do whatever. I want you to know this morning that your life matters. And what you do, you may not know it today, but can I tell you, one day when you're standing in heaven, there are people that are going to hug you and they're going to say thank you. That your life matters. Excuse me. There we go. I'm good. I think about that because sometimes you just don't know if your life makes a difference. And then you hear stories. You hear of someone who says, had you not done this reverse Christmas, I don't know what my family would have done. Or this morning when my wife had the privilege of picking up Mary and baby Jesus. Because last night, I don't know if she's here, Jess. Are you here somewhere, Jessica? Hi there. Jessica, that's our Mary, and her little baby is baby Jesus. And there they were in the manger last night. And then the word came to me that she said, I don't know what I'm going to do for Sunday. I don't know what I'm going to do. You may not be aware of this, but Jess has been coming here for a few months and really just learning that how much just God loves her. And just it's just been an incredible thing, just a short time. And we love having her here. And she signed up. She says, I want to play Mary. I mean, what an honor. And so she's our Mary, and her little baby is Jesus and her two little kids. And you may not be aware of this, and I wasn't even aware till last night, but she rode the bus out here so that she could be in that manger and let people know about Jesus. And amen. And she doesn't know I'm sharing this, so I owe you a dollar. I found out last night to get here from where she lives, it's just a few miles, but to ride the city bus, because she doesn't have transportation, to ride the city bus, they brought her out here. It took 3 hours. She loaded up her baby and her kids in that cold and rode on a bus to go a few miles, 3 hours. And we complain sometimes. God help us. Really? What do you have to complain about? Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, we have people that don't know where their next meal's coming from, and we complain. And God says, for what? For what? What does God have for us? God has so much for you, and God has so much for us, and we are so blessed. On our very worst day on this planet in America is better than 80% best day in the world around us. Our worst day, you are richer than 80% of the world on their best day. And I heard that, and my heart went out. I said, you got to be kidding me. Why would anybody spend 3 hours on a bus with their three little ones as a single mom to get out here to be in a manger for 4 hours? Because right here, yep. Why? Because she wants people to know about Jesus. Because she loves the Lord, and because she wants other people to know that God loves them. And I said to my wife, I said, hey, we got a van. We drove separately. Can you give her a ride home? Absolutely. Can you pick her up? My wife had the privilege of bringing Mary and baby Jesus to church this morning. That is an honor. That is a great honor this morning. And you say, well, Pastor, figuratively speaking. Okay, figuratively speaking for you, but literally speaking, when Jesus said, you are my hands and my feet, you are my representative to the world, and when they see you, they see Christ. So my wife drove Christ, the Christ child, and who he is and what he represents to this church. And I thank you. And I looked at that, and I said, God, let's make a difference in this world. There are people who are willing to do whatever it takes. Wow. And so I heard this morning that there was a teenager last night that met a lady who, I mean, you should see the system. If you haven't been down to our reverse Christmas, you've missed out on some miracles. And so they've got this system, and it just blows my mind. Listen, we have Christmas Carol and her team that does stuff, but it's not just Christmas Carol, and she would certainly not take the glory for it. She'd give it back to the Lord, and she's down there feeding a group of people right now who have to do community service, about 25 folks that say, hey, this is a great way for us to love the Lord and fulfill some things, and what a change. We want them to know that we love them too, because God is the God of 1,000 chances. And he can find you wherever you're at, no matter what you're going through. And so she's down there preparing meals, but watching her team. I mean, and you may be on that team. You may be backstage in the boxes. You're a boxer. And it's amazing how you're loving people and putting those boxes. You may be a rapper. You may be a storefront person. You may be a shepherd. You may be just out in the cold, just opening doors, or a cart pusher. There was a teenager last night that a lady came, and they got the boxes, and they're loading up cars, and they're doing this stuff. And he got out there, and he says, where can I take this to? Where's your car, ma'am? She says, I don't have a car. How did you get here? She said, I walked. Where do you live? Up the road. Up the road. Go down the mall here. From here, it's not quite a half a mile, and then go up the road. And he turned to the director, who was kind of seeing that, says, would you mind if I carry her food to her house? And in the snow last night, a teenager became Jesus, and the miracles happened. And he carried that, and I thought, God, it's a wonderful life. And our lives matter. And sometimes we feel like, I wish I'd never been born. What difference does my life make? And I want you to know, it's a wonderful life, and it matters. And because you are who you are, somebody's Potterville becomes Bedford Falls. And somebody who would have had a life of alcoholism becomes a person of significance, and they have a life of peace and joy and happiness. Because someone reached out to me, I'm who I am, because someone took a chance. And so the scripture says in Isaiah 58 that we can make a difference, because that's what it's all about. Sometimes we don't feel like we can. And on January 6th, I know God has called us to make a difference, and that he said 2014 is about to be the best year you've ever seen for your family. And I said, thank you, God. I want to do that. What do you want me to do? He said, I want you to fast and pray. I said, great. I am terrible at fasting and praying. I love food. And so I prayed about this. I've been praying for 8 months. God, give us a direction. Give us a direction as a church. Do you want us to close the doors? Do you want us to continue? Do you want us to build? What's going to happen with the mall? Where do we go? Who's going to follow? Who's going to give up? Who's going to quit? Who's going to be new? And God says, I don't care about all those things. Do not put your hope in man. Put your trust in me. And you obey me. I said, great, show me. In 8 months, he said, no, I'm not going to show you. And he did. A few weeks ago, God just unveiled it all. He says, 3 years, 3 years, 3 years. I said, what's 3 years? He said, get ready, get ready, get ready. I said, get ready for what? He said, get ready when the rain falls, the ark needs to be built. I said, what does that even mean, God? I told the board, and they said, what does that mean, Pastor? And I went, thanks, throw me under the bus. I don't know what that means. And I'm going to tell you as a congregation, I don't know what that means. I just know God said, 3 years, get ready. And I said, what's 3 years? He said, disciple the people, just like Daniel, when they brought these prisoners and these young men, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, Isaiah, all of these guys into captivity, they trained them for 3 years. Because we live in a world that loves to have church attendance and put on big shows. We have seminars and concerts and books and Facebook and radio, and we have more information about God than we've ever had in the history of mankind, and yet we have shallower Christians who know about God than ever before. And I mean that as a whole, as a church. I don't mean about you individually. But 86% of Americans claim to be born again Christians, and we can't even find the decency to love one another. We invent ways in America to hurt each other. We can't even call on the name of the Lord because it might be offensive. And 9 out of 10 people say, God is not offensive. He's my God. And yet we can't even figure this out. And God said, 3 years, 3 years, 3 years. I said, I'm in. And he gave me 3 years of discipleship for life groups, home groups, to connect people because we're afraid to connect. We don't even connect anymore. We have fast food. We drive through. We don't even have to sit down and have a meal. We just drive through it. We don't have to even do our laundry. We can drive through the laundromat. We don't even have to know the banker's name. We can drive through the bank. We can drive through, drive through, drive through, drive through, drive through. And now we can have conversations with people, and we don't even have to talk to them. We can text it or we can Facebook it, which is ironic. Isn't that a paradox or an oxymoron, Facebook? We don't have to have inflections, tones, feelings, or flesh. We become more insulated and isolated as a society. And I said, God, you've given us the greatest message of all. We have human contact and a worship with a God who is real that loves us, and we can gather together and do that. This is going to be the greatest year we've ever seen, because when the dark gets darkest, the moon shines its brightest, and the sun is desired. And we are going to shine like the sun. And God says, not only are you going to do that, but I want you to fast. I said, okay, I'll fast. What, 30 hours, 2 days? What do you need? He said, 21 days. I shared this last week for the first time. And people have come up to me, and they've said, I'm in. And it surprised me how many people have said, I want to do this. Because God called us to this 21-day fast. I said, okay, God, what do you want us to do? He said, I want you to humble yourself before me, and I'm going to do some incredible things. I said, God, I'm in. And what does that look like? So Isaiah chapter 58 tells us, shout it out loud, don't hold back. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sin. In other words, if you want to follow Christ, my question is this: how bad do you want him? Because we live in a world that people want to live in their sinful ways and also go to church and say, this is Christianity. And there's no difference between whether you had Christ or you didn't have Christ. And we need to get to the place where Christ matters in our life. That our lives are different. That we have a joy and a love that goes beyond what the world has. That we have Christ in us, and it has a desire for us to love the unlovable, to be kind to the unkind, to do things and to have peace in the midst of a hurricane in our hearts. Instead of going, oh gosh, you know, look at all this stuff. And we just cry and complain. And someone gets on a bus for 3 hours with their kids just so they can come out and be in a manger. Somebody grabs a box of food and carries it for a half a mile. God help us. No wonder why God won't do things in our lives. We grumble and complain, and we bring that spirit of destruction into our home of complaining. And we want the blessing. Let God's blessing come as we raise up the blessing. Don't be mocked. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So then he goes on and he says this: for day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right, and they have not forsaken the commands of God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager to have God come near to them. In other words, God help me, God help me, God help me, God help me. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you guys are asking for help. You seem eager, yet you're living just like everybody else, and you're wondering why I'm not doing that. Look what he says in verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of the fasting, you do as you please and exploit your workers? Oh, my goodness. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and you strike each other with wicked fists. In other words, if you go hungry for a couple days, you guys are grumpy. Get a Snickers. I mean, do something. That's what he's saying. You're not yourself. You know, you're yelling at each other. Listen, if you're going to do the fast, if God calls you to fast with us, then fast. But don't be grumpy. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. He says, you cannot fast as you do today and expect, here's what God says, your voice to be heard. God says, you live your life that way and you call on me, don't expect me to answer anything. Isn't that interesting? People wonder why God's not moving in their lives, because here's what he says. He turns this around. He says, is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable? Imagine Jesus walking into the wilderness, it says, for 40 days and for 40 nights, he did not eat. This was to launch his ministry. He said, God, I want power in my life. I'm going to launch this ministry. 40 days without eating. Imagine the storyline went like this. And Jesus walked into the wilderness, and he fasted, and he did not watch television for 4 hours. And the devil came to get him. And he says, hey, I haven't watched television for 4 hours. Okay, God, answer all my prayers. And that's what he's saying here. You didn't eat breakfast. You skipped breakfast and you said, okay, God, I skipped breakfast. I got your attention. 40 days. Can I tell you something? Those of you that fast with us, those of you that have fasted, you know that you get God's attention when you say to your body, my body is not going to be in control of my life. And by the way, we're doing the Daniel fast. That's a water and vegetable fast and fruits. And we're going to have all that stuff out there. I'll tell you in a minute about it, but to seek God for 21 days, whoever is doing this, and we're going to call out to the Lord and say, you're going to have God's attention. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, it says that there was a time when the disciples went out and they were healing people. They were preaching. I mean, they were seeing miracles. And they came back and said, Jesus, we saw some great stuff, but there was one thing. We couldn't break through these strongholds. There were demons that were just so powerful. There were things we couldn't do. And Jesus said, only, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So Jesus said, there is more power than prayer. There is more power when you fast. No wonder why he told his disciples, not if you fast. He said, when you fast. Why 21 days? You got to listen to last week's sermon. Go get that online. Why 21 days? Because God is calling us to humble ourselves before God and to seek his face. It goes on in Isaiah 58. It says, when you do this fast, when you seek the Lord, look at verse 6. Is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and your Bible says, and to break every yoke. There might be some addictions in your life, some finances in your life, some relationships you've been trying to put together that aren't working. Maybe there's a kid in your family that's not saved. Maybe there's a parent you've been trying to get saved, and you have just said, I cannot get through to this. And God says, I will break every yoke. I will do things that you have never seen before in your life if you will fast. And we are going to fast for the entire church. First of all, God called me to fast for my home. So first and foremost, here's my selfishness. I am seeking God so that God will break through in my heart and things in ways that I will be a father and a husband and a man of God first and foremost that I've never been before. I know I've followed him for 30 years. This is what I'm seeking in my life. And then I want to have that into my home. And then I want to have it happen into the church, into your families. I'm going to seek God and pray for your families for breakthroughs and things in your life that you've never seen before, that God would answer your prayers and move in this way and break yokes. And then I'm praying for this community. This is my community. I've lived here 16 years. I'm surpassing this next year, living anywhere I've ever lived in my life. South Dakota, 5 years, or where I was born and raised in California, 16 years. This is my home. This is my community. You are my people. Our God is the God of this community, and I want to see him in the Blue Water area move in a way that we've never seen before. I pray for every church that they get the wind, and the same thing. I'm praying for pastors. I'm praying for congregations. This is us. It's time that this community sees the fire of God in a way that just spreads beyond this Southeast Michigan and just moves out into our relatives and home. And everybody's asking the question, what's going on? And we're seeing breaking of yokes, of every yoke in our homes. That's what I'm looking for. And if we don't get that, listen, folks, there are some great churches in this community. I just assumed, and I told our leadership team, close the doors in 2014. If we don't see God's hand move and we just simply become religious people who attend services to be more religious, and yet the hand of God does nothing different in our lives than he does in an atheist life, I just as soon close the doors. I can go do something else. But I want it in my home, and I want it in your home. So then he says this, verse 7. Is it not to share your food with the hungry? That sounds familiar. Provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked to clothe them. And not to turn away your own mom and dad, your sons and your daughters, your flesh and blood. And then it says, if you do this, then your light will break forth like a dawn. This would be a great place for like a John Philip Sousa crescendo of a great song. and your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. That's your body. Your righteousness will go before you. That's your acts, the things you do. It will go before, and God will be your rear guard. His light, His glory will be right behind you and sweeping in your life. Is there anyone in the house of God that wants to have something like this going on in your life on a daily basis? Is there anyone who could testify and say, that's what I want? Then he says in verse 9, he goes on to let us know after this, you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help. And God says, here I am. Now, that's a pretty nice phone line. There's no static. There's no Verizon. There's no AT&T. You talk about reaching out. Can you hear me now? And God says, you will call to me. And God says, I will say, here I am. If you get away, get rid of that yoke of oppression and stop with the pointing finger and the malicious talk. Get rid of that complaining, and God will bring this into your life. Wow, if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, your light will rise in the darkness. Your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you. He will satisfy you like a sun-scorched land. You will have strength in your frame, and you will be like a well-watered garden whose spring of water never fails. I don't know about you. I want to go pump that well right now and just have it splashing all over my family, all over my children, all over my parents. I don't know. Do you have anything you're asking God to break through? Do you think your life matters? I believe Daniel said, my life matters. And Daniel stood before the Lord. He said, God, I'm a slave in a land of slavery. I probably don't matter, but God, I'm going to seek your heart. And for 21 days he fasted. And God broke through and said, Daniel, I'm going to show you things that you can't even believe. And he showed him the birth of the Messiah 586 years later, to the day of King Cyrus. He was alive. He says, I'm going to show you the 70 weeks, and in 69 weeks, I'm going to show you that the Messiah will ride in on a donkey, and they will hail him with palm branches. And from the Sunday to the Sunday, the Shabbat, the Sabbath day before the Lord's resurrection, from that day to that was 586 years. He showed him the glory of the Messiah. You talk about getting to see some awesome things, hand-me-downs. God moved in his life. Does your life matter? Do you make a difference? I think you make a difference. I think a woman who saw a teenager carry her groceries made a difference. I think people who saw a baby in the manger saw a difference. I think people who have given their lives to Christ are seeing a difference. Does your life matter? I ask myself that stuff all the time. Monday, God called me to do something. And I only share this with you because I am horrible at this. Last Monday, God, when I woke up in the morning, says, I'd like you to fast. I said, oh, that doesn't start till January 6th, Lord. He says, no, I want you to fast. I said, Lord, you know how horrible I am at fasting. He says, I know, and that's the problem with the church. We say we want it, but we're unwilling to sacrifice for it. I said, I know. He said, I want you to fast for those who are going to fast. I want you to fast before the battle. I want you to fast for those who aren't going to make the battlefield, and I want you to fast and seek God now. I said, okay. He said, you talk about how bad do you want it. How bad do you want it? Prepare your heart. I said, I'm in, God. When can I eat? He says, I'll let you know. And I thought, oh, gosh, this isn't going to go well. So breakfast gets done. I have my devotions. I go to my staff meeting. I'm in my staff meeting, and I'm thinking, I haven't had breakfast. I am so hungry. God, how long is this going to go? Lunch. And I get into my devotions. I don't eat lunch, and I'm just spending time in the Word, and God is just speaking. And I said, how long is it going to go? He says, I'll let you know. And so it went for a while. And I'm thinking, okay, God, I can do this. I want this. I want this more than ever. He says, I want to show you. I want to show you what I can do in the fast. I said, okay, God. I woke up that morning. God gave me the scripture in Hebrews. And I give it to you today. This is what God gave me in Hebrews. He says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists. And then it says, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. How bad do you want it? Because God wants to reward you. How bad do you want it? I said, I want it bad. He says, I'm going to show you, since you're seeking me, how bad do you want it? I said, more than anything in this world. I want to be a better man. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better pastor. But God, I have breakthroughs I prayed for years in my family over that have never happened. He said, I'm going to show you. I said, okay. I got to the office and God was doing amazing things. And then God laid someone on my heart to pray for it. I said, God, this is about me, not about them. Why am I thinking about them? And it just, for hours, this person's name kept coming up to my mind. I said, okay, I'll pray for him. I'm praying. But God, this is about me, isn't it? And then my secretary came up and she gave me this. This came in the mail and I looked at this and I was like, wow, that's weird. What is this? Wadley, Alabama, Otis. Who's... I said, did you check it for white powder? I said, what is this? I said, is it ticking? What, you want to go soak it in some water? I said, what's in Wadley, Alabama? And Pastor Mitch, Grace Minister, I don't know anybody in Wadley. I don't even know what a Wadley, Alabama, where Wadley, Alabama would even be. And who is this Otis Wilson? And I said, here, why don't you take it? She goes, oh, it's for you. So I took my little letter opener thing and I kind of swiped it and I'm looking. And I kind of opened it up and did one of these and... A CD with some writing and a piece of white paper typed with almost nothing on it other than this type. And I thought, okay, it's one of those letters. And I thought, oh boy. Hello and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought, oh, it's a telemarketer for the church. Pastor Olson. It is with great gratitude as a fellow pastor that I send you this letter of thanks for your excellent example of Christian leadership and spiritual guidance. I'm thinking, this guy doesn't know who I am. I was a dear friend of Brother Eddie Ross. Some of you may know who Eddie Ross is. A little over a year ago, he was on this pulpit sharing his story. He was a dead man walking with cancer. Almost 70 years old, and he was up here, and the doctor said to him, and he was off doing stuff and not even thinking he was sick, and the doctors did a test and said, I can't believe you're even walking. You're a dead man. Your numbers are basically what dead people have. And he said, well, nobody told me I was a dead man. And so we prayed for him through this cancer that was through his whole body. The cancer, he went in to the hospital here. He went in, and they did tests on him after we prayed and anointed him. He went in, and they said, you can go home. They said, what do you mean? And he said, well, last night an angel came into my room and told me I was healed. The next day, the doctors came in. They had to keep doing different blood tests because they said, we can't find any cancer in your body. None. Zero. And he did. And he came up here and he shared that story. But just like Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead, you're still going to go to glory one of these days. Well, that happened. Later on, after a while, the cancer came back. And his daughter was in the hospital, and we were praying for him, and his daughter's in there praying, God, heal him. Well, guess what God did? He started healing him. The cancer, I mean, he had stage 4.5, whatever they call, and they said, you're done, call the family, and the family went, and we said, what? They said, it just came back, and it's here right now, and you're done. You have a couple days to live. And so he was in there, and on a Sunday night, we were praying, and his daughter's in there praying, and said, God, heal my father. You did it once, do it again. The doctors came in, they did some tests, they go, the cancer's going away again. He looked at his daughter, and he said, let me go. And with tears in her eyes, they said their goodbyes, and he passed that next morning, and went to be with the Lord. I got a phone call to come do the funeral. And this says, I was a dear friend of Brother Eddie Ross, whom you eulogized in March of this year. I know that Edward must have drawn suspicion when he came to your congregation, since he was of another color. I smiled. Edward grew up in the Missionary Baptist Church in the South, where we were very serious and conservative concerning our religion, be it black or white congregations. Every church Edward happened upon in your area, he found to be spiritually disappointing and corrupt in some manner until he found you. Now, this guy, I don't know who this guy is, okay? This is just what he's sent me. I talked to him many times about the disappointing behavior he would discover at the other churches he visited, and I was worried that he would give up on attending church for good. Then he told me about a church where he found there was peace, fellowship, truthful teaching, and no gimmicks to get money from gullible members. But the only issue he had, it was predominantly white, and he might not be accepted. Edward... That church, sir, was Grace Ministry Center. All he wanted was a church where he could catch a ride to glory and peace, and he found such a place with you all. Edward had a blessed life, but a hard life, emotionally and physically, with issues such as molestation as a child, terrible examples in church leadership, etc. But he never became a criminal or let go of believing God and the power of Jesus Christ. I know that this is partly due to people like you, so thank you again for guiding a lonely sheep towards home. Pastor Olson, I hope that your crown shall receive another star for this good deed, but if not, you can have one of mine. Pastor Otis Wilson. I saw this CD. I was going to go listen to the music. There were three songs. The Blood of Jesus, 1943. And a couple other ones. I can't remember the titles of them, but they were in the 40s. And I thought, what? I put the CD into my player, and it wouldn't play in my CD player, the music. And I pulled it out, and I realized it's a DVD. It's not a song. They're movies. I put it in my player, and my kids go, what are you watching, Dad? It was from 1943, and it was an all-black congregation that made a black movie called The Blood of Jesus about a young man who the devil was after, and he got saved, and they're all dressed in white robes. They're walking down a road there in Alabama, and they're making this old movie, this old black and white movie. And, well, I don't know if there was anything else before the 1943s. And he's walking down the road, and they go, and they get baptized, and there's this story, and I'm watching this thing, and they're singing these old Negro spirituals, and I'm just watching this, sitting back going, wow. And then I grab the CD again. I'm like, this is what's in here? And there's a note on the back, and it says, this is a small example of the God-fearing, Jesus Christ-promoting material that Edward was exposed to in the South while he was growing up. Thought you might like to experience some of it as your example for your excellent work. Thank you. Appreciation, Pastor Otis Wilson. I got a letter on Monday, on the day I sought to seeking God with all my heart. And God said, I will break through and I will send you a letter from beyond to bless you and let you know. Here's a letter from Eddie, from a guy I don't know, who's been gone to be with the Lord. And here it is, on the day that I was seeking the Lord. That woman that God laid on my heart to pray for, and I was like, no, this is about me, God. I saw her this week, and I went up to her. I said, what is going on in your life? And she says, why? I said, I don't know what you're doing or what's going on, but I said, I'm in this, kind of in this fast, and I'm really seeking God's heart. He laid you on my heart on Monday, and I said, heavy on my heart. What's going on in your life? She said, Monday? I said, yeah. She said, Monday? I said, yeah. She says, I'm at a new job, and my boss came into my office after lunch at 1 o'clock, and started laying out all this stuff about God. I didn't even know he was a Christian. He started talking to me about God at work. And how, you know, just being committed and knowing the Lord and just being involved and getting your heart committed to God. Not attending church, but just seeking God. I said, you got to be kidding me. That's exactly what God's laying on my heart. Really? And then she goes on and on and on. And then she says, after an hour of this stuff, he finishes. And he says, his pastor was preaching a message. And she shared it with him about how chickens kind of, you know, are involved and they contribute, but pigs sacrifice for the breakfast. I said, you got to be kidding me. She said, why? I said, now this makes sense. I said, I don't know what God's doing in your life, but that was going on. And I pulled out my iPhone and I opened it up to a thing that God had showed me in my devotions. I opened it up and it said bacon and eggs. And she looked at that, and she looked at me. I said, bacon and eggs. And I scrolled up what I typed in, what God had laid on my heart, my devotions in the morning, while I was sitting there working out with my earbuds in, and I'm typing in a sermon, and this whole idea of bacon and eggs, and how the chicken only contributes the eggs, but it's the pig who sacrifices everything for the bacon. And God, make us all pigs instead of chickens. Because the church is full of chickens. Here's my egg. I'll take my egg and I'll fly the coop and I'll go find another coop and lay some eggs. And God help us all to commit ourselves and let's bring in the bacon. And she looked at me, she goes, wow. I said, so I don't know whatever it is, but whatever you're praying about, I want you to know that God is about to break through in your life. This has happened over and over and over and over again in the last few days in my life. And things I've been praying for my family and my children and in my life have been breaking through. And God said, see, I can do this if you'll humble yourself before me and show me that you want it. And then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear, and your righteousness will go before you. And you will ride on the heights of the triumph in victory in the land. And I said, God, that's what I want. I want it in my home. I want it in my life. And so God's calling us to a 21-day fast on January 6th. Next Sunday, in every bulletin, I'll have what it means, what it takes, what we're going to do, what kind of foods you can have that are vegetables and fruit, if you so choose. We'll have it on our website. We'll mail it out. You'll have it all, the recipes. I said, God, with all this stuff, it's amazing what you can actually eat. You can eat a meatless chili, tomatoes, black beans, water, cook it up, some spices, all fruits and vegetables. I said, God, we're not going to be hungry. We're going to have cravings. But, oh, God, it's not about a diet, which people will lose weight. It's not about healthier blood levels and sugar levels, which it will do. It's about seeking your heart and humbling ourselves before you and crying out to God and using that time. So we're going to pray and fast. We're going to put together, it'll be in the foyer next week for the next 3 weeks, a prayer list of 24 hours in the day, and those are broken down in half hours. So there's 48 slots for people to sign up to pray for half an hour. So maybe God will lay it on your heart to take 2:30 in the morning, maybe 7 in the evening or 2 in the afternoon, but to pray. Maybe you'll take more than a half an hour. But we're going to fill in every single slot, and for 24 hours a day, for 7 days a week, for 24 or 21 days, we are going to pray around the clock for you. We're going to pray around the clock for your breakthrough. Non-stop, we are going to pray over your lives, over your families, over this community, over whatever it is that God's laying on your heart. We are going to pray, and fast for 21 days. So you say, I don't want to fast. Pray. I don't want to pray. I'll fast. Whatever God lays on your heart, commit to it. And then finally, on the bottom of each card, we'll have a thing that says breakthrough. What am I believing God for? Those things that I've never seen before in my home. And you can write down those breakthroughs. Now, there'll be two of them. If you want to write your name on there and tear that off and bring it in, you pray for yours and you bring them up. 7 days a week, we'll have for breakfast, lunch, and supper across this place. I'm sorry, 6 days a week, not Sundays. 6 days a week across this altar, we're going to open up for breakfast from 7 to 9, from 11 to 1 for lunch, from 5 to 7 for supper. And we're going to allow people to come in and pray over every single one of those cards. We're going to have the church open, breakfast, lunch, and supper. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God. We're going to humble ourselves before God and say, God, we are serious. How bad do we want this in our homes? How bad do we want that financial breakthrough? How bad do we want that healing to quickly appear? How bad do we want salvation for our children and our families? How bad do we want this community to know our God? I'm seeking that with all that's within me. And so next week, we'll unveil all that. You'll have it in your hands. You can go on the website. There'll be recipes, everything you need. If you commit to 2 days, then let your yes be yes and your no, no. If you commit to 10 days, let it be 10. If you commit to 21, but we as a church, we as a people, are going to humble ourselves before God. Whether it be 5 of us or 500 of us, we're going to seek God's heart and on your behalf. That's what we're going to do, because God can speak and God can move. And God can send letters from Wadley, Alabama, and offer you a crown, a jewel in your crown. God can find a man who's crying out, and the only psalm his wife gave him the night before the ship went down was, the Lord is my salvation. He is my ever help in time of need. He will deliver me. And that man, for 3 days in half water, in a 4x4 area, at the bottom of an ocean, was found, because our God can do anything. You just got to believe. Let's stand and pray.